Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
Everybody's going, how did mom allow this? And that's the big question. Why did she allow it?
Yeah.
But was she not viewing it as she was allowing behavior? Was she viewing this as like, well, this is normal? This is, you know, is that why it's so weird to the rest of us?
You do see sometimes in these cases where the mother was raised in a home with the same kind of behavior going on. Mm-hmm. Maybe she had a history of being victimized by her father or an uncle, and they just sort of have this internal, their radar is off. You know, they just don't see it the way the rest of us see it. And yet they know it's technically wrong, so they keep this deep dark secret just to keep the whole system going.
It's like a more extreme version of, well, when I was a child, I survived this or that, so it's okay. I mean, and then it's justified. And I'm not talking about any of that being okay. But you see it sometimes on lesser things, if you will. Well, I got spanked when I was a kid, so it's okay to spank my kids. Something like that.
Yeah.
But if like, well, I was sexually abused by so-and-so at this age, I'm okay. So I can't imagine thinking like that and like going, oh, it's okay. Especially if, you know the impact that it had on you directly. But I mean, do some people get into adulthood and not realize the horrible negative impact that it's had on them, that they feel that it's
exactly.
Okay?
Exactly. They don't see it that way. And there's evidence in the way Stefan was talking about this that's come out in some of the interviews. She knew nothing but love in our home. And so they groom the victim by convincing them that this is a loving form of expression, okay, which we look at that and it just makes our skin crawl. But they can teach children that I'm doing this with you because we have this special bond and I love you so much.
Yeah.
And so you may have a mother that buys into that distorted belief because she grew up with something like that. I can't tell you how many sex offenders will say, and these are not the sadistic kind, but that they love this child. And they'll say, oh, well, we were only playing games and she enjoyed it. And it's completely warped. But, you know, and these are people, again, that present like normal people in their daily lives. Nobody knows that this is their crazy way of thinking and framing things, but they can convince children that this is about love.
Do groomers always know they're grooming someone, or sometimes is it just like so ingrained because maybe it happened to them that is how they think love is, or whatever they're calling it. Obviously there, I'm sure many know it's wrong, but I do wonder sometimes, like in Jen's case, that she doesn't realize that it's wrong. I would imagine Stefan knew it was wrong what he was doing.
Yeah.
But sometimes are they just so warped in their mindset that it doesn't play that way of like, this is really wrong. It's like, oh, this is how I was shown love too.
They have an incredible ability to rationalize. And do they believe their own story? I think sometimes they do, even though they know that society is not going to look at it that way. Mm-hmm. What they tell themselves over and over and over is, well, this is good in our case. This, I'm doing something loving. I'm doing something good. We have this close bond.
It's like how some people can go, I'm not going to pay taxes because I believe the government's out to get me. And it's horrible. Again, more tame, still something can get you locked away for quite a while. But still, it's not sexual abuse. But some people have these convictions where it's like, I'm just going to do this because the rules don't apply to me. And I know better than the rules.
I know better.
And then they'll go off and do whatever they're going to do. Is that kind of the same sort of thing on a much darker level?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. A few decades ago, a guy named Stanton Salmanow, who was a forensic psychologist, he wrote an incredible book. It was groundbreaking at the time, called The Criminal Mind. And it really goes into the different ways that people who do these kind of things and commit crimes and rationalize it, how they twist reality and the distortions in their thinking. And I think that's what you're seeing with a lot of pedophiles.
Can you get that twisted back the other way? I mean, the pedophile thing, I think if you're thinking that way, you're fucked. Like, you're done. There's no twisting that back. Is there ways of people who rationalize things in such bizarre ways, do they ever take a step back and go, how did I think that way? How did I think that this was okay? Or is it once you've gone down that road, you're down that road?
I think you can work pretty effectively with teenagers. You know, I used to work in one of the forensic programs with teens who had committed some pretty bad crimes. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of that was actually when we were using Stanmanow's book. We were really working on targeting the thinking errors, the mm-hmm. cognitive distortions that they had. And you could see a shift. By the time somebody is into their 20s, into their 30s, it's more apt that they're going to learn to play the game and give the clinician back what they want to hear, because they can read, you know, what's the right answer here. So I'll say the right answer. But that's certainly what happens in forensic institutions where treatment is done, is you're trying to get into the thinking process behind the behavior and just, you know, be very confrontive about it. This is why you're in jail, or this is why you're locked up, because of the way you think. And can you get them to dial that back and at least learn something?
Obviously, we only know what we know about Jen Soto from what we've seen in interviews and such. Where do you think her mind is right now, if you were to speculate on that? I mean, do you think she realizes the errors of her ways of being with someone like this? Or is she still in that kind of a victim state, do you think, of what I was doing I thought was right? I mean, I suppose it will very much depend on what all these charges end up being if she ever does get charged.
Yeah. My guess is she's terrified. You know, her world as she knew it is completely crashed and burned. And who knows what charges she's looking at. Is she grounded in reality enough to even be thinking that way? Mm-hmm. But I think this is a very fragile lady with a lot of problems, and she's not going to be doing well right now.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.